You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 5 for a moment. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we look to you with thanksgiving. Spirit of God, thank you. Lord, thank you for all that you have done and are doing. So to honor you in order to honor our Heavenly Father, Spirit of God, help us in all of this. And we're going to thank you for what and how you do it. Thank you, thank you. In Christ's name, amen. We share together in our study of the Gospel of John and John chapter 15 as we're looking at it, and reminding ourselves that 15, 16, and 17 have to do with God, the Lord Jesus Christ, giving direct, awesome information they need in order to practice, in order to participate, in order to share his life. And they're standing up, and he's telling them straightway, no messing around, no debate. They don't ask any questions. There's no conversation. It's straightway. They need to know and look to God with understanding for God to do his wonderful work in their life. Now, having said that, and he makes it very clear, might need to go over there if you would, John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And reminding ourselves now, as we've been studying all this, and it's loaded with treasure, jewels, a wonderful truth. And you're just not going to grab it in 5 minutes. And we could study it and for the whole next few months. And we just tap the information, just tap it. Now, but in our process, in the study, we have found that the Lord said, unless you abide in me, unless you abide in me, you cannot enjoy the life that I have for you. You can look at me, and like John chapter 14, you don't understand who I am, and you have been with me 3 1/3 years approximately. And in all of that, you have not been able to enter into who I am. You enjoy my care, my keeping in every way. And you're trusting me as much as you understand. But you are not able to participate in the relationship that I want you to have with me. When you have a relationship to me that I desire, you'll find that relationship is with none other than God the Father. That's what I want you to have. I want you to be able to enjoy the outworking of God's wonderful life. Therefore, you must abide in the branch. We read it. I'll read it, verse 4 and 5. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Now we share together the branch. It's a branch, the vine. It's especially to Israel. Israel was God's vine in Isaiah chapter 5, etc. Now, and God, you said the vine and the branch. He's the vine, and they are the branches. And we share together. Put it up there. We share together that here's a piece of hose. And the hose can be connected to gasoline, to water, orange juice, whatever you want, and it's going to flow through it. That's what it's going to do. The hose doesn't care about what's in it. It just is there, and it participates in the flow. That's it. That's what it does. God, you aren't talking about that. No, I'm not. I'm not talking about that. Not at all. And now we have pear, peach, and different things. And now, but it isn't a hose. This is a branch. Now, this branch belongs to a blueberry bush. And this branch is attached to a blueberry bush, and it enjoys producing, when it's there, blueberries. That's what it does. But the branch is marked. It isn't like this. This could put anything in it. God, you made this blueberry bush to be able to go and produce blueberries. Not apples, not peaches, not bananas, blueberries. That's what it does. Wow. And it has to be attached. So God, you're telling us you're the vine and we're the branch. Now, and we shared all these things, so just to remind you there, that in the process, they were clean through the word. That's why God could even invite them and encourage them to abide. Without abiding, nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. Now, and you, it isn't this kind of thing. It isn't. I don't want you attached like a hose. I want you to attach to me in my wonderful relationship to you. You are bought with a price. You are not your own. I am conforming you and changing you, translating you, transforming you into my image and likeness. You participate in the vine, in the Lord Jesus, in a unique and wonderful way as his child, as a branch. The branch matches the vine. Christ in the believing heart. Christ makes and changes the believing heart. So Christ in the believing heart needs to abide in Christ, in God, in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, needs to abide. It's a unique relationship. It isn't meant for anything else. No one else. Now, if you don't abide, you're going to be just like this, fruitless. I made you to abide. Now, you have to abide in order to produce fruit. And without me, you can do nothing. Now, there are two men that came into the world, two persons, came into the world without sin. One was Adam and Eve, and Adam came in, and Adam and Eve sinned, and sin passed along its characteristic, its everything, DNA and all the rest of it, passed it on to us. So we are the result of Adam. And we are the result of Adam, and to know that we're all in the same line, Adam's, the day that Adam sinned of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, disobeyed God, Adam and Eve died physically. Now, they got saved, Genesis 3:15. They believed, and God puts coats of skin upon them from the sacrifice, and God covered them. But they were destined to die, Genesis chapter 5, and Adam died. Now, how do we know we're all of the line of Adam? Because we all die. And there's no one on planet Earth that doesn't die. Because we're all related to Adam. 100 ways to do it. The easiest way is death. You live in a body that is dying and destined to die. That's what you live in. So, the Lord Jesus Christ is the second, last Adam. And he is born, Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman. He's born in Bethlehem of Judea and in the line of Adam, but without sin. Without sin, because the wages of sin is death. And the gift of God is eternal life in the person of Jesus Christ. Now Adam sinned. In Adam's sin we all die. The wages of sin is death. Christ is born in the line of Adam, but without sin and cannot die. And in the process, he was born by the Virgin Mary, the Spirit of God, born in Bethlehem in order to what? In order to die on Calvary's cross. He can't die. There's no reason to die. He died for the line of Adam. He died for everyone in Adam. He injected into them. He did something wonderful for them. Everyone born in Adam before they were ever born, before the foundation of the world, Christ died for them. He died for them. So there's no one born on planet Earth that Christ didn't die for. There's no one born on planet Earth that God isn't able to save to the uttermost. God died to save them. What did they need to do to get saved? In the Old Testament, they believed. Adam and Eve took the coats of skin God gave from the sacrifice. Abel had a sacrifice, etc. They all sacrificed. What were they doing? They were telling God, we believe there's a wonderful Savior, Genesis 3:15, coming. And they believed. And when they did that, they took the checks that God said, cash the check and you'll get saved. Hang on to this check. It's a valid check to save you. And they did. They believed. And lo and behold, Christ is born and dies and rises again. And what? And all of those checks are valid because he died. All of them. That's the Old Testament, Adam and Eve, etc., Isaiah and all Daniel. Now here we are, and God, we're able to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and God does a wonderful work in our head and heart to save us. And if we choose to believe, then the benefits that are already ours. Here's all the people, 7 billion of us out there, plus. And there's not one of them that Christ didn't die for. They aren't believing. Muslims and everything else out there. Wow. They don't believe. It isn't that they can't get saved. They don't believe. Christ died to save them. That's the gospel. That's what he did. So that's a wonderful thing. Now, God, how are you going to demonstrate your wonderful saving grace? You're going to die on the cross and rise again, and the only evidence, the only thing you're going to do, Matthew chapter 12, 38 and all of that, is the only sign you're going to give is the sign of the prophet Jonah, as he was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the whale's great fish's belly. So shall I be in the heart of the earth. And your resurrection, the only thing you're going to show. Now, you didn't show it to them. All you showed to the public was an empty tomb. You only showed it to your disciples for 40 days, and you did that. And every now and then you played peekaboo with them to help them understand that you rose again, and on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, before that, Christ rose in the garden, as it were, and 500 witnesses saw him rise up, and they waited 10 days and Pentecost. Now, in the process of all of that, God, you did that. Now, so the world needs to know and see. The resurrection, they have an empty tomb. But the sign has to continue. It's a time, age of grace, dispensation of grace. And you're demonstrating it. That's right. The Lord Jesus Christ said, you cannot possibly enjoy the exclusive, superior magnificent, awesome relationship I have given to you in order to demonstrate my resurrected life. And that's what I'm going to do. Unless you abide, you will not be able to participate in the marvelous, marvelous thing I'm doing. All the world can talk about is an empty tomb, if they wish. An empty cross, if they wish. They can do that. But they're going to have to look at you. And unless you abide in me, and I in you, there can be no fruit. And the branch is attached to the vine. And it's just like the vine and the vine. They match. They're the same. Aha! So that it participates in everything that's in it. That's why we shared last time or so. They're able. We read it in chapter 15, verse 5. The branches beareth, verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit, able. It can't do some things. But if it abides, it can do everything. God, that's what you said. What'd you say? I told you, you are able to do everything. Not you. You're just like me. I changed your life. You're being changed into my image. You're going to be able to do, I'm going to be able to do in you everything that I'm able to do. And you are going to participate in my ableness, in the flowing of the life. The life that I give you is mine. It isn't yours, it's God's. And the life that's flowing through the branch is God's. The fruit that's shown up is God. It isn't about us. Love, joy, peace, the Spirit of God. It isn't about us. It's about you, God. That's right. So therefore, when you say all these wonderful things, whatever you ask in my name, I can... Whatever you ask, how can that be? Because it isn't you, it's me. In you. And if you don't mind, don't take away from me and say, I can't. If it's me in you, you believe I'm going to do it when I tell you this. Because it isn't you doing it. It's me. So whatever you ask in my name, I'm able to do it. Do you understand? It's God. When God tells you all the awesome things, the promises and all of that, it's about his awesome person. Now, therefore, over to and our Lord, perfect man, perfect example. Back over to John 5 for a moment. I know we have done this so many thousand times. But I have to tell you, if we did it 1,000 more, once this touches you and you get a handle on what God has actually done, instead of pushing it all aside. No, it isn't real. It is real. The church isn't showing it. Israel isn't showing it. God's showing it. Now, John chapter 5, our Lord's example. Perfect man. Why did God create you? And remember, your declaration tells you God created you. That's wonderful. Too bad the rest of the people don't understand that. God made you. And if you, I said that, if you understand God made you, then you should expect something wonderful. If God made you special, you should expect something wonderful out of your life. Because you want an accident, you want some cell and an egg, a seed. Pete, we grow up, get old and die. God, if that's all we've got nothing. That's right. Now, so our Lord Jesus Christ is going to show us the wonderful purpose of a human being that he created in his image and likeness, Genesis 1, 26 and 27. So God could look at a human, not angels, not antelopes or cantaloupes or whatever, bugs, birds, bees. No, that just instinct and all of that. Angels are angels. God made you personal to know him uniquely, to have a unique relationship to God, not like this. The Spirit of God can use this. God can do Samson and all kinds of things. God can do. God could take a donkey and talk through the donkey. God can do it. But we aren't talking about that. God's talking about a unique relationship you have to God in his saving grace. John chapter 5, our Lord the example of doing it, and as it sinks in, you and I, you know, Romans, John 8, 32. If you know the truth will set you what? Free. What does it mean to be free? Free from what? The limitation and littleness of our own being, limited to our humanness, etc., our wit, our wisdom, our words. John chapter 5, our Lord, perfect man, verse 19, then Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. Nothing, nothing. Sliding over to verse 30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. God didn't create me to be me. God created you for God to be God, to demonstrate his wonderful person in his saving grace. Israel could have done it. They didn't believe. They will. And God, what are you doing in an age of unbelief when the Jew and Gentile crucified Christ? What are you doing? I'm taking a whosoever and saving them. And I'm having them have such a relationship to me. Christ is the head and they are the body. Head, body. That's what they are. Now, head, body, vine, branch. A unique relationship. And I want that relationship to demonstrate wherever believers are. They bring God to the kitchen. They bring God to the store. They bring God to the school. They bring God to work, wherever they are. They show the marvelous wonder that God is able to save. The other day I was with a person, a businessman there. In the process we were talking, and he said he was a Congregationalist, which is fine, whatever. I said, you need to know the Lord as your Savior. And we did all of that. And it isn't about being a Congregationalist. It isn't about being a Baptist. It isn't about being a Methodist. It isn't about being a Catholic. No, it's about knowing the Lord as your Savior. That's what it is. A unique relationship to God. Now, having said that, so the Lord Jesus Christ, perfect man, as you know, all the different references, he does nothing. He over one other place, well, at least do that much, John chapter 8. And you will note, in John chapter 8, picking up, please, in verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, crucifixion, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things to please him. I do nothing of myself, I just honor the Father. That's what it's about. We're born spiritually to honor the God who gave us birth, who gave us life. So we're able to have an awesome life to demonstrate the wonderful, wonderful person of God. And like we did in Sunday school, remembering, if you would, that God has a wonderful plan for your life before the foundation of the earth. And when you get saved, when you don't get saved, just sitting out here, don't get saved, then you just do what we do. Depending on the culture, country you live in, the character, the food, the whatever, the characteristics, the religions, we do whatever we do. That's what we do. Until we come to know the Lord as our Savior. And then God's wonderful plan that he had before the foundation of the world to work out his good works in you. Not your good works, his good works. What do you mean? His wonderful working. You know it. Work out, Philippians 2:12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God, you have a wonderful plan for our life. So when I come to know the Lord as my Savior, I have the same body, same bed as we shared, same refrigerator, same job, whatever. But, now, when I open the refrigerator, I'm bringing God's wonderful person to the refrigerator, and I am alive. I am alive and well in Christ Jesus. I'm a new creature in Christ. God has saved me in a most marvelous way. So now I do the same things. But you know what? Christ liveth in me. I receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And you know, the guy that opened the refrigerator this day is a saved man, a believing believer, God in him, the hope of glory. Wow. The one going to work and school, and you're bringing God in you. You're just frail dust. That's right. Now, I got to get to that because I don't want to lose it. Now, having said that little bit, keeping that in mind, over if you would please. Now, remember now, in John chapter 15, remember, the last statement, abide in me, you'll have enjoy my wonderful fullness, my wonderful person, in a most wonderful way, in the process now, and we're able to enjoy the indwelling. Now, doing this again, Christ, God the Father, God the Son, the life of God the Father in the perfect humanity of God the Son. God the Father, God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, his perfect humanity. His perfect humanity is to enjoy the perfect deity of God, to enjoy the wonderful life of God. I do nothing of myself. All that I do is based on my relationship to the Father. Now, what did you do? You're the God-man, the man Christ Jesus, the Word become flesh. God the Son, the Word become flesh. And here is God in Christ, the perfect humanity, showing itself. And he says, do you understand? God is all alone God, and he wants to show himself in a unique way. And he did it not by angels, not creation. Heavens declare the glory of God, and the trillions of galaxies. Wow, and all that. God, you did that. Just like that. But God is the Lord Jesus Christ, perfect man, demonstrating what humans were created for. Humans were created to enjoy and know and experience God, to demonstrate God's magnificent person visually. He's the invisible, infinite God. But humans, our Lord Jesus Christ, he said it, John 14, you know all this. If you've seen me, John 14, 7, 8, and 9, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I and my Father are one. And when God, you made it, so God, how are we going to carry out what you do? As my Father sent me, John 17, 18, so send I you. So God, how are we going? I want you to abide. You need to abide in me as I abide in God the Father and all of the wonderful life. My wonderful resurrected life, the wonderful witness of who I am, is going to flow through you. And you are going to be so identified, you're going to have be changed. And people are going to say, why aren't you like us anymore? No, I'm being changed. God bought me with a price. I'm not my own. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath no life. God, a unique, wonderful relationship. That's right. Without me, you can do nothing. You can't do anything. Try it. No one can. It requires God. Therefore, the end of verse 5. Except without me, you can do nothing. Nothing means nothing. Nothing. Nothing plus nothing is nothing. Now, in the process of all of that, keeping that in mind, let me just make you just take a little walk in history with our Lord. Take a little walk and just listen as God deals with the human, deals with us humans, deals with us. Over, if you would, please. To 1 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you have to understand nothing, because the minute I say nothing, there's nothing. You can do nothing. Well, no, I can add and subtract and eat pizza and do everything. No, that's all you can do. But you can't have any life in what you do. You're a dead man in a dying body doing all that stuff. And it won't go anywhere. It can't go anywhere. It's dead. You need to have life. So you need to be able to go, and whatever you eat or drink, do it to my glory and honor. Same glass, different content. Different content. Christ in me. Same glass, same me, same you. Wow. Now, so here's 1 Corinthians 1:19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Sliding over, if I can, while you're here and in that section, over, if you would, to chapter 8. And in chapter 8, picking up, please, if I can. Chapter 8 and in verse 2. If any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing. Yet as he ought to know. Boy, the flesh doesn't like that one. What do you mean? I've studied for so and so and so and so and I know all. No, no. Whatever you think you know, you haven't even started to know it yet. You all know that, don't you? You can't study anything. I don't know any subject on earth. You can study with a great big microscope the bacteria and life that's right here in the end of this wood, and you won't have enough lifetime to study it all. You don't have the equipment to study it all. You don't have the understanding to study it all. That's true in everything. God, so God, you're trying to tell us and help us that without you, it isn't going to happen. What are we supposed to be doing? Showing God's wonderful person. In love, joy, peace, the fruit of the Spirit of God, God's wonderful attributes, God's wonderful character that saves us. Therefore, go with me, please, over while you're here. Over, if you can, over to, do it 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, if you can, just going to see it all over the place. 2 Corinthians and chapter 1. Now remember now, and you want to put, I don't mean to do it so fast here. Do you understand? When you do nothing, you understand nothing in order for what? To enjoy the allness of God. A-L-L, allness, everything. You say nothing in order to know allness, everything. It's a wonderful. It isn't, you don't lose a thing. You gain the utmost. Thus, therefore, pick it up. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God, be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the God, and God, the God of all comfort. All comfort, all comfort, all comfort, all encouragement, all of it, flowing through the branch. All of it. And to participate, God is showing, he's the God of all comfort, and you are participating because you are like him. And your branch, you have the same makeup, the same life of the Lord Jesus Christ in the branch. Without me, you can't do anything. And the branch just shows the wonderful life of the Spirit of God. Therefore, chapter 1, verse 20. For all the promises of God in Christ, in him, are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. All the promises. Now start turning the pages. All the promises. All of the wonderful ability to God to do a far above all that we can ask or think. All of that you participate in. You understand it isn't you, zero, nothing. It's him. And he provides his wonderful person in all of his fullness to flow through you and to show forth his wonderful grace. And therefore, we're able to say thank you in everything, in anything. Thank you, thank you, thank you. What's there to thank? God's wonderful keeping and caring. Right now, in the branch. God, wow. Could be having the mumps or the measles. Doesn't matter. You enjoy a wonderful, wonderful relationship to God that's full of life. And that's what you do. And you enjoy all of it. God, how much? All. Keep going over here. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians in chapter 6, picking up in verse 10. I'm going directly in the light of it. You have as sorrowful, yea, always rejoicing, as poor, as making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. You have nothing, and yet you possess all things. That's right. Wow, that's an awesome thing. Yes, it is. Chapter 12. The Apostle Paul, did you get it? I did. Chapter 12, picking up if I can, in verse 11, said Paul, I am become a fool in glorying. You have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. They were debating about Paul's credentials. I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very Peter, James, and John. I'm not behind any of them. I'm equal with them, because they all abided in the same Christ that I am. Therefore, I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, even though I be nothing. Now that's how, for only believer can say that. I'm nothing. Oh, you must be something. It's not good to be nothing. No. It is absolutely right to be nothing so that I can have the wonderful fullness of God. As long as I try to be something, I'm nothing. When I understand I'm nothing, I'm just a branch. That's all. I'm everything. You walk by faith, not by sight. You're going to trust me. Now, God, he made it awesome, awesome, simple. You either trust me with all your heart and watch what I do. Watch. And a little bit we have left. Over, if you would. Oh, go over to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, not very far away. Galatians 5, you're going to pick up the word and the context over and over and over again. Chapter 5, picking up if I may, verse 2. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Circumcision, what you do, what you don't do, how you ritual, you're rigorous, you're whatever, it ain't going to work. It's an abiding. It's a wonderful relationship. Abide. Believe. Abide. It all happens. What do I have to do? Nothing. Think of Sunday school. Rest. What are you going to do? Nothing. You're going to look to me with all your heart and trust me. Oh, let's think about it. That's just the trouble. We're going to go think about it. And you're going to think with your heart and mind, and you're going to lose it. Because what God is telling you, you better look to God to make and understand why it has to happen. It's God saying it, God doing it, God making it happen. And then you tell God it can't. Remember 1 John 5. If you say that I'm not who I am, you make me a liar. And God isn't a liar. God doesn't fall short of anything. I need to know that. I got to give God credit. He said it. He means it. He does it. And God, what do you mean? You can't keep with your pride bumping along here, hoping it's going to come out all right. Because it isn't. It's all about you. Self, 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 self. Self this, self this, self that. It's all about us. And it isn't about us. It's about the God who created us in a unique and wonderful way. Therefore, chapter 6, verse 3, Galatians. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. See? I'm something. Well, I got a PhD in pork chops or something. Whatever you want. You can talk whatever you want. What difference does it make? That doesn't help you have life. Does it? There's no life in that. Life's with God. That's the trouble. We don't have God. We don't have God's life. That's why we're going to die, spiritually and physically. Now, in the process, over, if you would again, to see it. Just go to Philippians. Philippians. You can turn the pages. Always going to come out the same. Always about a relationship you need to have to enjoy God. And don't try to help God be God. Just thank God that he is God and allow him to be God. That's all I can tell you. Don't try to give him understanding, and you don't have. He doesn't have to read theology books. You understand? God doesn't have to go and look up and go to the library and read something. No, no. Philippians in chapter 4. Philippians in chapter 4, picking up if I may. Oh, go to verse 6. Philippians 4. Be careful. Don't worry. Don't be anxious about or for nothing. But in contrast to nothing, do nothing. Don't do anything. Don't worry about anything. Worry is sin. Worry is the last activity we have where we are in command. You understand? What can you do? You can worry, right? Let's worry. Worry. See, well, I'm worrying. Worrying. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. For it is the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. Now, having said that, sliding down to verse 11. Now, that I speak in respect of want, I'm not wanting, said Paul. Nope, I do nothing. Don't worry about anything. In everything, give thanks. And the peace of God will just flow out of you. Verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content or satisfied. It's sufficient. It's sufficient. Whatever I am, up, down, high, much, little, doesn't matter. I am. I'm sufficient. I know both how to be abased, go down low. I know how to abound everywhere and in all things, in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Again, in all things, all things, all things, all things. How can you be content? Because I'm nothing. And in my nothingness, I find God's allness. And when I find God's allness, there's nothing I lack. I lack nothing in his allness. Do you lack anything? If you're saved, is the Lord Jesus Christ in you unable to do and be who he is? No. No. So God, I understand that. So what am I going to trust God? Walk by faith and not by sight. And God, verse 13. Therefore, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Not because of me, no, because of Christ in me. And to boot, add to that, verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So God, you're going to make it all happen in your most wonderful way. You're going to make it all work out for your good, and therefore, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Now, so that's what I want. Now, as we come to the end of the age, what do we know? What is the church, not religious people, the professing Christians in Christendom? What do you expect? What we just said is wonderfully, wonderfully real and true and awesomely, awesomely right. Period. Now, what's the problem? Revelation chapter 3. The end of the church age. Revelation 2 and 3, the history of the church, plus literal churches. Revelation chapter 3. And you know it. Laodicea, as you know, verse 15, 3 and 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee, vomit thee out of my mouth. Because, why? Thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods. And then you say that awesome statement, and need nothing, when you are nothing. What a dumb thing to say. We don't need anything. You need everything for life. Now, thou knowest and knowest not that thou art wretched. That's a wonderful thing. Miserable. That's good. Poor. Blind. Naked. That doesn't sound very good, if you ask me. I think that guy got a problem. The church has a problem. They don't believe. It's what it's about. Back to my congregational guy again. It isn't about any of your denominations. It's a wonderful relationship to have with the person of God in a personal way to save you in a most personal way. That's what it's about. He said, I think I understand. I said, I know you don't, but I'm going to give you a tract to read. Now, over if you would please, in closing, over to James. We didn't get very far, and that's my fault, but I'm trying to do each thing a little more detail, but just trying to get you to grab the sense of what he is saying to the 11 disciples, for all of us in the upper room. He's telling us the magnificence of being a new creation in Christ Jesus. What it means for God to be able to be God in the believing heart and to demonstrate his wonderful deity in our humanity. So that we can find content, wonderful satisfaction, reality. James chapter 1, picking up please. Verse 2, brethren, count it all joy. You can't do that in the nothing. You do it in Christ everything, in Christ allness. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, all different kinds of tests to be proven and tested. Verse 3, knowing this, that the trying, putting to the proof, the trying of your faith, the body of, you're looking to God, believe God, you walk by faith and not by sight, worketh patience, bearing up under the load. Verse 4, but let patience, bearing up under the load, abiding, just keep abiding. Just keep abiding, that's all. Just keep abiding. And let patience have a perfect work, complete work, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting how much? Nothing. Hang in there. Just don't be this. God, I'll trust you, I won't trust you. I'll trust you, I won't trust you. I'll trust you, I won't trust you. Don't do that. Abide. Hang in there, bearing, patient, bearing up under, enduring. And in due season, all things begin to happen. And you learn you have a wonderful God and a wonderful Savior. And you know what? Then you read John 15 and 5. And you read it with awesome delight and wonderment. Without me, you can do nothing. Boy, is that true. Without you, but with you, there's nothing you can't do. And therefore, your good will in our life, that's all we're looking for. You now work your will. We're going to eat the same food and sleep in the same bed and do everything the same, but we're alive. And as we do it all, we have a relationship to you that allows you to be honored in our little heart, that you are God Almighty, my God and my Savior. That's awesome. And God, even so come. Our Father and God, we thank you for your word and work, and deal with us, God. Without your help, where are we going to be? So thank you very, very, very much. Spirit of God, help us. We don't want to have, we want you to come at even this second, God. But if you don't come this second and you choose not to, we would like you to deal with our heads and our hearts, that we could begin to appreciate what you have done on Calvary's cross, why you have done it, to demonstrate your marvelous person in human flesh, in vessels of dust. God, help us to get that a little bit. God, that's what we need. That's what it's all about. when it's all said and done. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.